connecting to the real nerds is so easy. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, at Real Nerds. We also have Instagram. You can call us, 720-6NERDS5. You want to email us? You can do that too, realnerds@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Denver Comic Con 2016. We have a fantastic interview lined up for you. Enjoy.
All right. We are live on the show floor at Denver Comic Con 2016. Still day two. And I am here with Sue. Sue, we've talked to you a number of times. What's going on? How have you been?
Oh, I've been doing great.
Yeah?
I keep just writing away at my series and keep getting more books out there.
Oh, man. So how many have you written in the last year?
How many have I read?
How many have you written?
Oh, written. I've actually written 1.5.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good number. Yeah. I've had a few people here at the show tell me, like, I've written, I write, like, you know, 1 a month. I'm like, what are you doing? This, look, I understand you being prolific, but, like, take your time.
Yeah.
It's okay. 1.5, I think, is a good number.
That's a good story.
That's a solid. Yeah. I feel like you're working hard. You're getting something good out there. That's fantastic.
Right.
Cool. So what's new?
Well, this past year, I formed Wicked Ink Books with a group of friends of mine, other Colorado authors.
Awesome.
And we're putting out anthologies.
Okay.
And each year. So our first one came out in March, and it's called TikTok, Seven Tales of Time. And our next one, in fact, right now we're taking submissions on on our website, wickedinkbooks.com. And so if anybody wants to submit something for our next anthology, we're going to be choosing 3 out of the submissions.
So are they short stories? Are they?
Yeah, they're like short story. Well, more like long short stories or short novellas.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then are there requirements for like themes or elements or anything like that?
Yeah, each year we're going to have a unified theme. So this last one was about time. So anything to do with, like, time travel or past, you know, time experience, things like that, was in the first book that came out in March. But our next one is going to be a story inspired by song lyrics.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Is there a target market? Is it young adults or is it for anybody?
You know, we originally started out because most of us, not all of us, but most of us in the group were young adult authors.
Yeah.
But it's not staying as young adult.
Sure.
So, you know, we've got all the requirements and all the guidelines on the website if anybody is interested. But, yeah, it can be adult as well.
Okay. So are you expecting to take this and start branching into, like, self-publishing your own books?
Well, we are self-publishing Wicked Ink Books, and
well,
I do self-publish.
Oh, so. That's right.
That's okay. And but it's very exciting, too, because just this past week I auditioned and I contracted Thursday night with a producer to do my audiobooks.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I'm very
Have you ever
excited.
Done audiobooks before?
No, I've never.
I'm fascinated by the idea of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I like audio a lot.
Right.
I think the medium is really cool. and unfortunately, I get busy enough that I don't. I mean, honestly, the last really good book I read, I didn't read it. I listened to
you
it in an audiobook.
You just listened to it, right.
I'm trying to get myself into that more because I feel like I don't get the chance to sit down and read as much.
Right.
But when I do, what happens, and it's been true my whole life, is that I start a book, I get 60 pages in, I'm like, this is really cool. Something happens and I get distracted, and by the time I pick it up again and I have the time to read, I'm like, I don't remember what was going on.
Absolutely.
And I'm not invested anymore, right? So that thing that inspired me, like, oh, this is a really cool book, I gotta check this out, like, it all has crumbled by the time I get back to it.
Exactly.
And so because I'm a huge podcast listener, as I've started getting into audiobooks, I think it's a fantastic medium.
It really is.
And especially for people who are self-publishing and are trying to build that audience, I think it's a really cool opportunity.
Yeah. And there's some great areas and companies out there that try to just get people like you who have the equipment and the voice and everything paired up with those independent authors so
really?
They can get those done.
You should totally put us in touch with that. I would totally help people out with that.
Oh, that's so great.
I don't know that I want to do the editing, but I can certainly help, like, record authors' voices.
Yep.
Because it's way better. I'm glad that you're doing it yourself, because it's always way more interesting when the author themselves reads it, right?
Right.
I mean, they've the author has to hopefully have a nice voice and is good at being able to read their own stuff.
Right.
But especially with certain subjects, mm-hmm. it's good to have like that personal feeling where you feel like, okay, this is, I feel like the author's reading it to me, right? Like you're right. sitting in the same room, and it's a yep. really great aesthetic.
It so. Really is. And with the guy that I did contract with to produce it, he read like half the book right off.
Yeah.
And had already started making notations, but wanted to Skype so we could talk about, you know, what are the characters, cause, so he could convey the dialogue correctly and all of that. So, I mean, it's quite the process, but
yeah.
again, it's just another medium out there to get people to learn more about my books and
yeah.
to be able to read. But we all have a lot of downtime, but not, like, completely crash time. And,
yeah.
you know... books to read the books is that crash time.
Right.
But, you know, we could be doing other things and be listening. And,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Like driving
yeah.
in the car and stuff like that. So
I'm an absolute fiend about it. So I literally,
yeah.
I wake up, I roll over, turn off my alarm, and turn the podcast on my phone.
There you
and
go.
So as I'm like, I've got a Bluetooth speaker in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm showering, I've got one on. Like for me, it's just like people who have listened to radio for the last 60 years. I wake up and I listen to podcasts until I get to work, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so it's also been fantastic to do that with books.
Because
mm-hmm. then this is going to sound terrible for my own medium, but then I feel like I'm learning something. You
well,
know, podcasts, I'm like, well, whatever, this is fun.
Yeah.
But when it's books, I feel like I'm being a little more intellectual. That's terrible. Oh, my gosh. It's honest, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
that's too
I won't
funny.
Hold it against you.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But I think that's a really great opportunity for you to market and get yourself to a fan base that may not necessarily have found you yet.
Absolutely.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. So what are you working on next? Do you have a novel on the back burner that you're working on?
Well, I have book 4 in the works.
Okay.
And here at Denver Comic Con during my book signing time, I actually revealed the cover for it.
Ooh.
I was very exclusive. I'm not going to put it on any social media sites until October.
Come on. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay.
Check in with me tomorrow and you can look at it during my book signing time.
That's really cool.
But yeah, and I just love it. My book cover designer is so wonderful.
When does that happen in the process? Like at what point do you bring on a cover designer and go
well,
like,
you know, being on my 4th book now, I've learned that that doesn't have to be one of the last things.
Yeah.
And I already knew, you know, what the 4th book needed to look like. I knew what was going to happen in the 4th book. And just because I hadn't written yet didn't mean that it had to be put off. So I've discovered that with working on it with her, that was just one more impetus that was inspiring for me to just jump right in and start writing that 4th book.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. So it doesn't have to be. You just need to know certain things like the title.
Sure.
And pretty much what the book's about.
Yeah.
But then if
or at least what the hook is,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Like, if I'm a fan of the series, I've been with you for 3 books, what's the thing on the cover that makes me go like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
This is, I got to go get the 4th book because this cover is amazing. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So, you know, the tagline, like you said, what's that hook?
Sure.
And then the back cover copy, what, you know, truly, what's that synopsis about the book?
Oh, sure.
So, and I knew what all of those things were. So for the first time ever, that was the first step for me instead of one of the last. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked. That's interesting. Cool. So anything interesting you've read, anything that in the last year you've been like, oh, this has really been fun?
Oh, gosh. You know, I am such an eclectic reader
that
I just love The Nightingale.
Oh, okay.
It was a great book, but it was about World War II and the Nazis invading France and everything. But it was so wonderfully written. It was one of those few books. It was like I couldn't put it down, and that's kind of rare for me.
Yeah.
And the characters, everything was beautiful and just inspiring. So I would definitely recommend that. Not exactly a fantasy or sci-fi book.
No.
Yeah, but, you know, otherwise I've been reading a lot of friends, you know, who are independently writing. I've been reading a lot of their books and
cool.
A.G. Henley and Christie And Wendy Tyrion just got a star review from Kirkus for her breakout novel, The Rampart Range, okay. or Rampart Guards.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's just exciting to be an author right now. And I have such a great group of friends that we all keep each other going.
That's so fun. It's interesting because, you know, as you know, I think we've talked to all of that group of friends, or at least all of them that are here at this point.
Right.
You're actually like
yeah,
the last interview
we
have.
Yeah, there's a lot of them here, yeah.
So it's really funny, like, I had one come by earlier who was like, oh, yeah, one of my writer friends just, like, told me, like, I got to come over and talk to you guys. I was like, okay. And it's always interesting, especially in that case where, like, I haven't gotten an email beforehand going, like, oh, this is who this is, and this is what they've written, and this is why you should know them. Yeah. Or I just sit down and go, like, hey. Who are you? Tell me what you do. But it's been really fun. Honestly, the author interviews this year have been some of the most fun that I've had talking to people this year.
Yeah.
Just because everybody's doing something really interesting. Like, everybody's got a new take, or they're doing something cool, and they're producing so much stuff.
Yeah.
What does your process look like? I've probably asked you this in past years, but how often do you write? How much do you write? What does that look like?
Oh, wow. You know, I try to write a little bit every week. I've heard, you know, as a writer, you should write something every day, and that just doesn't quite go for me.
Sure.
I have to know what I'm doing. I also have to have some length of time.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just sit down and throw something together in a half an hour. I really feel like it's a process for me to get my head wrapped around the writing. So I usually get most of my writing done like on a Saturday after I've decompressed from the week. But during the summer is when I really crank out my novels. So it is that kind of a process for me because I work as a speech therapist in school district. And
yeah.
So in
the summer when school's out.
Yeah,
that's
when I'm off on the summer, I totally have my vacations with my characters.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And it's great because I like visiting the worlds and the countries and stuff that I create. So it really is vacation for me. Yeah.
That's really cool. It's funny because I'm going to toot my own horn here. I'm really glad I asked you the question because your answer is radically different than everybody else I've talked to. Because everybody else is like, oh, yeah, like I write 3 hours a day and I force myself to write. It's this very, like, Stephen King-esque, you know, structure to their writing.
Yeah.
And to hear somebody go, like, no, I write when I can. Like, I have a life and I have to work it into that.
Right.
And then when I have suddenly free time, that's when I crank something out.
Yeah, most of my vacations, my weekends, that's when I do a lot of the writing. But I really do the intense writing during the summer.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm gonna hard left turn here really quick and go back to the anthologies. What's it been like to collect and criticize other people's work and see what everybody else is producing?
Well, and that's a good point because we're all friends, and so how do you criticize your friends?
Uh-huh.
But it works because we're all very professional too, and we all have works, you know, multiple works out there, many of us, and it's one of those things that you really appreciate someone else that you love and just think they're a great writer to then point out things that you never noticed or you missed as a professional. So we did edit each other's works for the anthology, and it was an interesting process of trying to get everybody on the same page in the first place.
Yeah.
But once we all got underway and going, it just kind of fell into place. And we have a few people in the group. There's seven of us. And there's a couple of people that are amazing at organization and that whole corporate approach to, you know, getting things done.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for them, it would have probably taken a whole lot longer for it to come around.
That's really cool. It was one of my, in college when I was studying writing, it was one of my favorite things, actually, was to sit and read other people's stuff. It goes both ways, right? Because, like, in your case, you're all friends. You know the quality that you all are producing. You're like, okay, this is good. When you're studying, you get all kinds, right? So you find the people where you're like, okay, these are the people that I really respect their opinion. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, the other side of it is I'm going to read these people's stuff because it teaches me what not to do, which is a really, like, terrible thing to say.
But it's honest.
But
that's an honest way of looking at it.
It was the most beneficial thing to my writing in college was to take a step back, look at what everyone else was doing, and go, I hate all of this.
Right.
If I go tell a story that does none of these things, I have to be better. And I watched my writing improve.
Right.
Having that group of people that you can bounce stuff off of. And then in my case, and I'm sure it sounds like in yours, honing that group of people down to people that you trust and that you like working with and who you respect is an incredibly powerful tool.
It is.
In your
writing. I think a lot of people tend to think I'm not worthy to hang out with people they respect.
Right.
And you only get better by hanging out with people like that and learning your whole process for yourself.
If you're hanging out with people where you're like, I'm better than these people, you're never going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is being open to that criticism. You know, it takes a while to get that hardened skin that it's okay for them to feel certain ways because, hey, you're right, your readers are going to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't about you and your baby. This is about how well do you want this to become.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it is. I mean, it's writers, especially writers when they're starting, you're pouring a lot of your soul into this stuff.
Right.
And then you basically have somebody walk into it and just tear it apart. I mean, I remember being so mad when somebody read one of my stories and basically their only criticism was, I don't like the main character's name. And I was like, what does that even mean? I don't know what to do with that. I had one, now I'm just telling stories out of school. I had one where I got the story back. The only thing written on it was way too long at the top of the first page and no other edit on the whole thing. I was like, come on. But after a while, you hone that group of people that you like, and you go, okay, these people make me better.
Right.
And if you're lucky, those people are better than you are.
Right.
Because
that's
how you grow.
And don't criticize just to criticize, but give me constructive feedback.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing that I notice, and I want to see if this is true for you, I feel like a lot of times other writers, they don't necessarily get at the core of what's wrong. They can't quite always touch it. They can say, like, okay, I see these symptoms.
Right.
And then it ends up being on you because you get multiple points of view on it. And so people say different things that they don't like or that didn't work for them. And you've got to then interpret that and find, okay, the core of what they're saying is really, you know, they say all these things. What they mean is, I don't like the character.
Yes.
Or I don't think that it progresses quickly enough. Do you find that's true in your edits?
I think so. I think the other piece of it, too, is there's certain mechanics that you need to follow.
Absolutely.
You know, with any kind of effective and good writing.
Yeah.
And hopefully those are what they're really focusing on and not just that opinion kind of a thing. But everybody will have an opinion. Your readers have opinions about what they like. I mean, one of the poor reviews that I got for my first book was, the second book was, well, I kind of came into the middle of this, so I was totally confused. and you have to laugh about it. Just what you're doing. It's like, how ludicrous is this that you picked up book two or picked up book three for the first time?
Right.
And you're criticizing what you didn't bother to read first.
Right.
So,
I didn't understand. No one took any time to explain this universe or these characters to me. They just started doing things, and I didn't know why.
Right. And it's
hilarious.
Like you can't keep rewriting that whole book over and over again because those are the kinds of things that turn your avid readers off.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like, I already know this. Don't keep rehashing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's what kills. Anytime anybody does that in a book or a movie, it kills it, right?
Or even TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, they're the worst in series.
Like, it's like, why are you spending half of the show reminding me about stuff that happened last season? I watched it.
Right.
I watched it
or
between
seasons.
Or even
last episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you remember when we had this conversation? Yeah, I do, because I watched it last night because I didn't watch it live. I TiVo'd it. Like, come on.
In writing, we call those moments, well, you know, Bob.
I like that.
Yeah.
If you had been paying attention this whole time, you'd already
have the
answer.
Already know, this is what's going on.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. Cool. Yeah. All right, well, where can people find you? I mean, they can find your other interviews that we've done as well. But where can people find you this year? How can they support?
Here at the comp?
Online.
Just in general. Okay, yeah. My website is a great focal point, and you can get to my feed, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that from there. And that's www.suduff.com.
Cool.
And I wanted to plug in a little self-serving stuff. I'm actually been nominated as Independent Writer of the Year.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'll find out next month, and I am super excited about that kind of an honor. That is so cool.
Is this like a... some panel of you know, people is deciding, or well, can yes. we vote?
Yeah. Well, no, only the members of Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers can vote. Yeah, unfortunately. Right.
Well, I would help if I could, too.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, that is so fantastic. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming
Very
by again.
Excited. Thank you.
I'm sure that we will see you next year.
I hope so. Thanks
cool.
a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this exclusive interview from Real Nerds Podcast at Denver Comic Con 2016. I'd like to thank Denver Comic Con and Pop Culture Classroom for giving us this opportunity. Thanks. Bye. Real Nerds is a Nebulous Visions multimedia production. We would also like to thank Sparks Mandrill for our music. Additional music from Ben Sounds. Thank you to Alamo Drafthouse. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics. And thank you for listening to the Real Nerds Podcast.